Hey, you're tuned into Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Wednesday, August 18th. Thanks for being with us. I'm your host, Stefan Christophe. We are live every Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in this week. Again, we're going to go to a discussion that I had, which is part of a series of interviews that I'm doing with student activists and community activists who are pushing their support for the Wet'suwet'en Nation, which is the Indigenous community in the Western Territories of Canada. This is unceded lands of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. On those territories, TC Energy, which is an oil and gas corporation, is trying to build the Coastal GasLink pipeline. Without the collective support of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. People might remember right before the lockdowns in early 2020, there were mass protests in different parts of Canada, including Indigenous actions that saw Canadian rail lines being blocked. The hashtag for those protests was Shut Down Canada. And really what they were trying to draw attention to was the ways that oil and gas companies, often with political and legal and sometimes economic support from both provincial and federal state authorities, are often building these oil and gas pipelines on Indigenous lands without the support of the people impacted, the nations impacted. This is certainly the case with the Wet'suwet'en Nation. So they had been protesting the presence of TC Energy Corporation on their lands, specifically the Coastal GasLink pipeline. And distinct parts of the Wet'suwet'en Nation had been leading that struggle, so the Unist'ot'en clan particularly. There were solidarity actions all over the place, and that included in Montreal, Geogeagi, including at McGill University. Although this issue is not in the headlines right now, the construction of the Coastal GasLink pipeline continues. And I think it's really important to remember that. And I'm mentioning this within the context of the persisting climate crisis, because as I'm sure most people listening are aware, there are rising temperatures around the globe. This has been clearly outlined by the United Nations, many other global institutions and scientists, that global temperatures are rising both in the air and in the oceans as a result of the use of fossil fuels. And there's huge efforts underway to try to mitigate that. We saw some of that expressed in the mainstream setting through the Paris Climate Accord, although a lot of those protocols are not binding. Grassroots on the streets, there has been huge protests, particularly right before the pandemic hit. Fridays for Future, of course, the student strike protests. The very awkward, but that would be a generous term, but really intense contradictions of the Canadian Liberal government, I think, are important to highlight here, because we have a prime minister that speaks very clearly about the issue of climate change, but allows these oil and gas pipelines to be built. Pipelines that are first a violation of Indigenous sovereignty, and the Liberal government has expressed the importance of nation-to-nation relationships between the Canadian state and Indigenous people. But despite that, continues to press forward many pipeline projects that go against the collective national interests of Indigenous nations. So there's a huge contradiction there. And then beyond that, these are often oil and gas pipelines, which transport substances that contribute to the climate crisis. So it really doesn't make sense if you try to square that. It's really hard to add those different elements up. But the reality is that Indigenous people have been leading a struggle against these pipelines, including the Wet'suwet'en Nation, and have faced severe repression, police repression, from various police authorities in British Columbia, in Canada, that have targeted their protest camps, particularly the Unist'ot'en Clan's camps and protest locations against the Coastal GasLink pipeline. So locally in Montreal at McGill University, there is a major endowment fund that's basically the finances that are invested to make profit for the long-term financial stability of the university. And again, despite McGill's sort of language around Indigenous reconciliation and land recognition statements, they're investing in this pipeline financially, billions of dollars that are being, many millions of dollars that are being funneled to support the TC Energy Corporation and their project. One of their major ones is the Coastal GasLink pipeline being built without the collective support of the Wet'suwet'en Nation on their lands. So the program today will focus on this. I spoke with Sativa Kawakami, who is a member of the Indigenous Students Alliance at McGill University. This is a group of Indigenous students and allies that come together to take action, to raise awareness around Indigenous human rights issues and struggles for the land. And I wanted to hear the perspective of a student activist from the Indigenous Students Alliance who have been trying to mobilize and to push the critical importance of solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en Nation despite the pandemic, and looking at what that will look like this upcoming year, 2021-22. So here's my conversation with Sativa. This is Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is Wednesday, the 18th of August. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. We broadcast every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to 11:30. Thank you for being with us today. And here's my exchange with Sativa Kawakami of the Indigenous Students Alliance. Today, I'm having a conversation with Sativa Kawakami, who is an activist from the Indigenous Students Alliance at McGill University, and I'm sure is involved in various efforts on campus. And I'm trying to speak with different students about why they're involved in efforts to challenge McGill University's involvement or investments, actually, into TC Energy, which is the company building Coastal GasLink pipeline on Wet'suwet'en Nation's lands. So thanks for speaking today from outside. And well, first of all, I'll just say hi.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having me, Stefan.
Great to talk to you. So I'm just trying to share with people the fact that McGill has these investments in TC Energy. I think it might surprise some people, obviously not everybody, but could you just share a bit or explain what is the situation and why it's important to you as a student?
Sure, yeah. So I think it was for sure shocking to me too, learning that McGill invests so much money into TC Energy and their owned and directed Coastal GasLink pipeline. Yeah, so this pipeline, it is uninvited on unceded Wet'suwet'en territory or Wet'suwet'en land, and is, yeah, it's quite destructive to the community there. So that was what was really shocking to me, that the university which I attend is financially supporting this pipeline. That's quite damaging.
So there was some protests on campus when Wet'suwet'en Nation was facing a lot of violence from the police. There was various efforts in the community, the Unist'ot'en camp specifically, to challenge the pipeline. Can you talk about
the fact that that activism happened on campus, and how did that impact you personally in the sense of sort of the awakening or awareness of these issues on campus? Why was it important that students took this action? And also, what were they protesting? I realize they were supporting Wet'suwet'en, but also addressing the issue that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think, I'm newer to McGill, and so I wasn't present for a lot of these protests, but I think that it's really important to just make the regular McGill student aware of the university's investments and what they're supporting. To raise awareness about that is super important. It's crucial to know as a student at this university sort of where they're, what they're investing in, and then sort of what they're supporting and valuing.
So just for people who don't get that or haven't got access to that information. So McGill has these investments through an endowment in TC Energy. Can you talk a bit more about why it's important for people to know that?
My position on it,
yeah,
it's sort of that McGill, I guess, they have this, they present themselves as very inclusive and wanting to take equitable actions and welcoming students from all over. But I think it's really important to recognize also what they're practicing and how the university, McGill, is a business, and sort of it's, I guess it really speaks to, or it shows their true colors in how they are spending their money, and to be, to have included in their endowment fund this TC Energy, which is producing a pipeline that is, again, uninvited on Wet'suwet'en land, just sort of contradicts what they're presenting and what they're showing their students. And yeah, I think it's just as important to evaluate that contradiction. And it made the university's actions towards equity seem a bit less sincere to me.
And how and why?
I guess it's confusing in a way that the university or McGill is, they're promising to support, say, I guess in the context of TC Energy, you could take the example of Indigenous students and really welcoming and encouraging Indigenous applicants. And then at the same time, they're throwing their money into a company that is, that is really, I guess, violating Indigenous sovereignty on Wet'suwet'en land.
So you're a member of the Indigenous Students Alliance. Can you talk a little bit about that group? And I know that's an autonomous group on campus of Indigenous students. Could you just tell people what that group is?
For sure. So the Indigenous Student Alliance, or the ISA, were a collection of Indigenous students and allies. We mainly work to foster community and just work in solidarity with Indigenous peoples from all across Turtle Island and globally. And so, any sort of action that promotes Indigenous solidarity is what we stand for.
Thanks for sharing that. Wet'suwet'en is not the only, Indigenous frontline struggle that is taking place. Of course, there's the Tiny House Warriors of the Squamish Nation. There's, many real points of reckoning happening around the genocidal history of residential schools. In that context of everything that's happening, could you talk a little bit about why as a student it's important to engage in these issues and why you're trying to make that effort. I realize you also have your studies and the work situation. That choice you're making to be involved, why that choice and why is it important for you?
Yeah, I think, as a student, I also really just like learning. So, and I value learning of many different kinds. And so whether it's like organized from a university institution or just learning from members in the community and their experiences and what they have to share. And yeah, I think that that's really important to me, and sort of understanding the histories of I guess Canada, and but also the university has been interesting and thought-provoking for sure. And
No, I got it. And I think that, you know, I'm the reason I asked that question is I think sometimes, you know, I hope maybe some students who are getting the chance to listen to this or watch this might not or might feel intimidated to try to be involved in, you know, activist groups. And it's always meaningful to hear from people who've made that choice to try to engage, that, you know, there's not one way of doing it, but there's, you know, each person has their own experience, but, you know, just to hear your own thoughts on that process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, student life is so busy, but especially with working on the side, if you have to pick up a part-time job sort of thing. But yeah, I guess, and I was intimidated too, sort of wanting to enter into the McGill activism circles, but everyone's so nice and welcoming and just really wants to help everyone learn as best as they can. So it's, yeah, as soon as you sort of get in there, it's just a really encouraging crowd, I found.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, we're connected through Marlene Hale, who's the elder of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. So she's really been great to try to make connections between community and student activists. So thank you so much to Marlene for that link. And also thank you for taking the time to speak today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
That was a conversation with Sativa Kawakami of the Indigenous Student Alliance. That is an organization at McGill University made up of Indigenous students and allies that work to build solidarity with Indigenous struggles for justice, for self-determination, sovereignty, and for human rights. Obviously, this group is going to play a very important role in regards to activism on campus this upcoming year. If we think about what has happened surrounding residential schools and the genocidal practices of the Canadian state that go back generations in regards to Indigenous culture, in regards to Indigenous children. Today, as you heard, we were talking about pipelines and particularly the Coastal GasLink pipeline, which is being built on the lands of the Wet'suwet'en Nation without their collective support or approval, which is major. And really, it's important to take note that McGill University invests millions of dollars through their endowments into TC Energy that is building this pipeline. Although the pandemic has really sort of dampened a lot of the street level mobilizations and protests, both led by Indigenous people, but also support actions taking place in cities all over the place. It's important to consider and to recognize that these struggles, particularly in this case, the Wet'suwet'en struggle against the pipeline continues against incredible odds and even in the face of the pandemic and the dangers that the community has faced in that context. I should note that the workman camps, man camps, as many people have labeled them, which is accurate, have brought the threat of COVID into the relatively remote Wet'suwet'en Nation, and last year created a pandemic crisis for a number of Wet'suwet'en elders who were infected with COVID-19. Because workers come from all over the place in Canada to build the pipeline, and you know they're not linked in any other way to the local community, and people are coming from all over, and there's very little sort of protocols about COVID at that time. So just a point on the pandemic and how the workers who are building the Coastal GasLink pipeline on Wet'suwet'en National Lands have been affecting the community in regards to the pandemic particularly. Thanks for listening to CKUT's Free City Radio. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. We broadcast every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back next week. Do stay tuned for our sister program that broadcasts, shares our radio hour, in fact, the F-Files, which is coming up at 11:30. And to go out on the program today, I'm going to share a piece of music by Shida Shahabi. It's called Pretty in Plums. And I wanted to thank the artist Athini for letting me know about this piece through a beautiful music mix they worked on for Free City Radio's series of artist mix. There's a number of awesome mixes which you can find up on our SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/freecityradio. You can find mixes across the board by a bunch of different great artists. So thanks again for being with us. We'll be back next Wednesday. I'm Stefan Christoph, and take it easy. Thank you.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
My name is Hannah Zaidi. I've worked in regulatory strategy from everyone from the big five banks to early stage startups. I'm currently the director of regulatory R&D at Wealthsimple, and I've supported the launch of new products since 2019. So think our Challenger Bank offering, our crypto product, our P2P product, think like Venmo in the US. And outside of Wealthsimple, I also work with early stage fintechs and help them go to market and spend a lot of time doing talks on like open banking and payment modernization and financial inclusion.
Okay, so I don't want to discredit any of the listeners, but I can speak for myself that I am not extremely well-versed in the area of finance or fintech, financial technology, but I know enough to know that it's important, which is why I'm so happy to talk to you. So I wonder if you can just give kind of like a really brief, like beginner intro to the world of fintech.
Yeah, for sure. So fintech stands for financial technology, and it's a really broad topic that goes beyond startups and tech. It's really existed since financial services have existed, but I think most of us, when we think fintech, we think about